Morning.
Morning.
There are no coincidences, as we like to say. We believe. And yesterday morning, I decided that today's shiur would be just like a couple weeks ago. I gave a shiur about Rav Sadia Gaon's understanding of Tchiyas HaMeisim. I decided yesterday morning that today's shiur would be about the Abarbanel's understanding of Tchiyas HaMeisim. And as you may have known, Steve Kovlin was very big chassid of the Abarbanel. His first email address was, I don't remember exactly, but it was an allusion. It was like something, donyitzchak@aol.com or something like that. But that wasn't, but you know, he would always like this, you know, did you see what the Abarbanel says? So very...
He used to go there for lunch.
You didn't have to go there for lunch. I mean, I did too, but even, you know, stop you in shul and tell you, did you see what the Abarbanel said? And so it hit me late last night, so to speak, coincidence of the matter. Yeah. So let's dedicate to Shir, Eli Nishmas, Shlomo Ruvain, and Aryeh Eliyin. The Abarbanel, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, at the end of the fourth parak, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar Omer, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar says, Hakin'ah v'atava v'akavod motzim et ha'adam min olam. Jealousy, desire, and honor remove a person from the world. Hu haya omer, he used to say, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar used to say, Hayelodim lamut, those who are born will die, hametim lachayot, those who are dead will come back to life, v'achayim lidon, and those who are living will be judged. Leida lahodia livadash hu kel, to know, to publicize, and to become aware that he is God. Hu hayotzer, he's the creator, hu aborei, hu hayotzer, he's the one who forms. Usually yotzer means to form something out of something. Hu haborei means to form. It takes time to go off. Hu haborei means to form something out of nothing. Hu hamivin, he understands. Hu ha'ed, he's the witness. Hu ha'dayan, he's the judge. Hu baldin, he's the litigant, all referring to God. Hu atid ladun, and he's the one who will judge in the future. She'ein lefanav lo avlav lo shichav lo masopanim, before God there is no injustice, no forgetting, no showing favoritism, lo mekach shochad, no bribery, shakol shalo, everything is his. How could you bribe God when everything is his anyway? Veda shakol bali fi cheshbon, and everything will be taken into account. Don't let your Yetzirah promise you that there's somewhere in the depths where you can escape from God. Against your will you are created, against your will you are formed, and against your will you are born, against your will you live, against your will you die, and against your will you will give an accounting, judgment and accounting before God, before the King of Kings, the Holy One, blessed is he. That is the last Mishnah in the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos. The Abarbanel explains at very great length how that entire Mishnah is an allusion to different aspects of Tchiyas HaMeisim. We're going to go through parts of the Abarbanel's very long commentary. We're not going to go back and relate each one to each part of the Mishnah, because that's not our main goal right now, but just to know the context in which the discussion occurs. So the Abarbanel sets out 14 ideas about Tchiyas HaMeisim. And as I mentioned previously, that the style of the Abarbanel is first to tell you what his predecessors said, in particular in this context, Rav Sadia Gaon, the Rambam, and the Ramban, and then to tell you his opinion. Interestingly, and this is something that Barbanel is known for as well, he also, along the way, tells us what the Christians believe about each of these things and refutes them. And we probably won't go into much of that. So, first thing that Barbanel says is that the Ches HaMesim is one of the secrets of the Torah, and therefore, Chachamim only spoke about it in riddles and hints. And as I mentioned, according to Barbanel, the entire last Mishnah in the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos is an allusion to the 14 things. Last Mishnah in the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos is an allusion to the 14 things he's going to tell us about Ches HaMesim. So, and we're not going to go back and relate each thing he says to how he understands the Mishnah. That's not our main purpose. So he first says that this matter is very deep. The Rambam doesn't say much about it in his commentary in the first Mishnah of Pirkei Avos, where the Rambam lists the Yud Gimel Ikarim, the 13 articles of faith. He talks about some of them in some detail. And then he writes, and the 13th one is Ches HaMesim, and we already explained it elsewhere. And the Abarbanel says, I don't know where. And many other commentaries on the Rambam have observed, we don't seem to have this explanation of the Rambam about Ches HaMesim. He did write, as I've mentioned before, Mamar Ches HaMesim, a letter about Ches HaMesim, but he doesn't really explain there what too much about what he understands Ches HaMesim is. So perhaps there's some lost writing of the Rambam about Ches HaMesim that we don't have. But the Rambam does not write very much about Ches HaMesim in general. Okay. We do know that the Rambam understands Ches HaMesim to be not the same as Olam Haba. Okay. Olam Haba is a world, a spiritual world, whereas Ches HaMesim is a physical world. And as we'll see, other commentaries disagree with that. Okay. So the Abarbanel says the first foundation that I want to tell you about Ches HaMesim is that after a person dies, his body will disintegrate, but his soul is eternal. And even though it is something that was created, you might think, well, it could only exist forever if it existed forever. And in the past, that's not true. Even though the soul is something created, but why should it cease to exist if it doesn't have a reason to cease to exist? The body is frail and subject to all kinds of environmental conditions and things people do to abuse their bodies, so the body ceases to exist. But the soul, why should it cease to exist? There's no reason to think it should. So that's the first principle. The second principle is about when will Ches HaMesim occur? Will Ches HaMesim be after everybody has died and there's some period when the world is empty? Or will it be at some other time? So we saw that the Rambam's opinion is that Ches HaMesim is connected with Mashiach, with the days of Mashiach. So the Abarbanel says that Ches HaMesim will not be after everyone has died, nor will Ches HaMesim save the people who are alive at the time of Ches HaMesim from dying. We saw that Ches HaMesim will not be after all of mankind has died. Okay. And those who are alive at the time of Ches HaMesim will themselves die.
They will die
after Ches HaMesim. Correct. Okay.
That's everyone or just or the fraction of people that
have those who have not died yet. We'll talk separately about those who come back. Will they die? Okay. Those who are alive, those who are ready, if Ches HaMesim would happen today, those of us sitting here at the table who have never died will someday die. It says Hashem, in his wisdom, created all the neshamos at the beginning of creation, and he decided that they will come out in human form over an extended period of time. When all the neshamos are used up, then there will be tchesam esim. So that is the second. Hashem created all the neshamos at the beginning of time, okay, and they come out. Some of them are here now. Some of them were our great grandfathers. Some of them were their great grandfathers. When all of those, when the entire storehouse of neshamos is used up, that's when that will be the end of time. The Shorosh Hashlishi is Bitzurat Hatchiyah V'Mitata. The nature or the form of Tchiyas HaMesim. What will our bodies look like at the time of Tchiyas HaMesim? So he brings various opinions, and he says, V'yoter na'ot mityashev etzel ha'seichel, who the most logical common sense understanding is Shonomar Shechadesh Vivra Kadosh Baruch Hu Bizman Atchia Gufot Kamar Rishonim Vatzmam. Our bodies at the time of Tchias HaMesim will be, Hashem will create new bodies just like the old ones. Everyone will look exactly, everyone's body will be exactly like it was before. Okay? Again, you could ask the question here, is he implying that
when they're 20 before the Menorah?
Okay, well, he'll address that. So we will review. The first principle was that the Shama never dies. Okay? The second principle was that when Tchias HaMesim occurs, there will still be people alive, and those people who are alive when Tchias HaMesim occurs will eventually die. The third principle is that Hashem will create new bodies for us just like our old bodies. So the people who come back, will be the very same people who died, not different people, different new bodies for the same neshama. The fourth principle is that those bodies will look exactly the way they did previously, as we had in the Gemara, that they will get up in their blemished state, if they had blemishes, and then be healed afterwards. Okay, and that they'll get up with their garments. He does say it's possible to interpret that when the Mishnah says garments, it means with the body. The body is the garment for the soul, not the Mishnah, the Gemara. The body is the garment for the soul, or you could understand it literally, it means they'll get up with their clothing. Okay. The fifth principle addresses who will have Tchias HaMesim. And he says that the Chazal say that tzaddikim see their reward before they die. They see their reward, and the Ramban interprets this to mean Tchias HaMesim. The Barbanel says that what this means is that if a person is destined for Tchias HaMesim, he will know about it before he dies. He will be aware. Here he uses the words that tzaddikim, only tzaddikim will have Olam Haba. I was discussing this by email with my Rebbe Rav Tzuriel, and it seems to mean from the context of things we'll say later, it's that tzaddikim is to the exclusion of rishayim, but anybody, the average person as well, the average Jew as well, will have tchias HaMesim. Everybody is, in that sense, a tzaddik, unless he is one of the rishayim, who, such as the people in our Mishnah, who deny tchias HaMesim, deny Torah Min HaShamayim. Otherwise, you've done some mitzvos, you are a tzaddik for this purpose.
Where does a Ben Oni fall in that?
Ben Oni would be in this context of tzaddik.
It's not a Rasha.
Yeah. No, it's not. He's not a Rasha. Right. But he says if you're destined for Tchias HaMesim, you will know about it before you die. You will somehow, Hashem shows tzaddikim their reward.
And
Instant before you die?
I would imagine.
I don't know. Okay. What is the purpose of Trias Meisim? Principle number six. Okay. Principle number six. What is the purpose of Trias Meisim? So he says that the Rambam says that should be enough for you that there's going to be Trias Meisim. Why do you have to know what the purpose is? Okay. Just like we're not going to ask why did Moshe Rabbeinu do this miracle and not that miracle? Barbanel says, I don't like that. Okay. We can't ask why every detail of every miracle is exactly the way it is, but we certainly can ask what it was the purpose of miracle X. And we know Hashem doesn't do anything without a reason, so there has to be a reason. And so we could ask what the purpose of Trias Meisim is. Having said that, the Barbanel says, I'm not sure what the purpose is. I know there is a purpose, and I know it's legitimate to ask what the purpose is. I'm not really sure what it is. One purpose of it is for mankind to be judged. Okay? And exactly what the nature of that judgment will be, okay, I don't know. But I'm pretty confident that one of the purposes of Trias Meisim is for the body and soul to come back and be judged. In other words, we saw this before. We've always imagined Trias Meisim as reward, but it's not. Trias Meisim is a step after which there will be reward and punishment. The Pasuk in Daniel explicitly says that Rabim Mishnei Afar Yakitsu, many of those who are asleep in the dust will get up. And it says, some of them for eternal life, and some of them for eternal shame. So at least one of the purposes of Trias Meisim is for man to be judged after Trias Meisim. Okay. What will happen to the generation in which Trias Meisim occurs? We sort of alluded to this before, because he said, what will be the time of Trias Meisim? And he said it will be while there are still people alive. So what will happen to that generation? He acknowledges there are many different opinions. As we saw, Rav Sadia Gaon brought three opinions and said we don't have a clear tradition about this. So he says that the reward for mitzvos and the punishment for averos is in the spiritual olam haneshamos, okay, and that's where the neshamos will have pleasure from the light of the Shechina, but that's not referring to the time of Trias Meisim. Okay, those who get up in Trias Meisim will be like any other people, and they will be judged, and you have whatever other things will happen there that will, some of which the Barbanel will tell us about, and some of which he won't. Okay, they will die. But the people in whose generation Trias Meisim occurs don't need to die in order to have Trias Meisim, because if that's the time when Hashem will judge all of mankind, so whoever's already there is already there, and they don't need to die. Okay. So both those who get up in Trias Meisim and those who are alive at that time will participate in this great final judgment, and in the same way, without the necessity to die first. Okay. The eighth principle, he says, is another purpose of Trias Meisim, which I don't see that anybody before me discussed. Okay. And he says that this has to do with the relationship of Trias Meisim to the Geula. And he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to reward the Jewish people, that at the time of Mashiach, the Meisim should come back, so that everybody who suffered through thousands of years of exile should have some satisfaction by being present at the time Mashiach comes. We did see, I think it was Rav Sadia Gaon who alluded to this idea. So, not necessarily. It could be Ches Mesim will be part of what Mashiach will. It will be, as the Rambam says, that the Mashiach will, in some way, bring about Ches Mesim. That it will be in the days of Mashiach, so that the people can see the pleasure of the days of Mashiach, whatever that is, because they suffered so much in exile that. Makes sense that Hashem should want to pay them back by whatever the tranquility of the days of Mashiach will be, that they should participate in that as well. Not that Mashiach will do Tchias HaMesim, and the Barbanel takes pains to point out only God can do Tchias HaMesim. Eliyahu HaNavi and Elisha HaNavi didn't do Tchias HaMesim. They davened for Hashem to do Tchias HaMesim on the people that we say Elisha and Eliyahu revive. Only it's a power that only Hashem has.
Okay. Even though the key,
okay. I'm sorry.
One of the ones with the key to what rain.
One of the three things that no person has the key to, only Hashem has the key to. Right. One is Tchias HaMesim. One is rain, and one is childbirth. Well, there are two. There, the Gemara says beginning of Masechta Tanis. And another opinion is that one of them is the key to Parnassa, to livelihood. When Nevi'im do miracles, they frequently, why did Moshe have to hit the Nile with his stick, or why did Aaron have to hit the Nile with his stick? When Nevi'im do miracles, they frequently hide them in a physical way. The ninth principle is that those who get up, who have died and get up, will recognize their relatives, and their relatives will recognize them, because the ability to recognize another person is an aspect of having a body. And so if they're going to get up, they're going to have normal bodies like everyone else. So they will recognize their relatives. Okay. The tenth principle has to do again with one of the purposes of Tchias HaMesim, and this is something that is, I believe, unique to the Abarbanel's understanding of Tchias HaMesim. And he says, Hashem doesn't do anything for nothing. Okay? And Hashem created billions of people. And the majority of them have lived in darkness for all of history, worshiping idols or believing in various things that are contrary to the Torah. And that's really sad, and they seem to have existed for nothing. And we say in Aleinu, Elilim Karoti Karitun, the idols will be destroyed, and all of mankind will come to know Hashem. Therefore, he says, not only the tzaddikim of the Jewish people will get up, and we explain tzaddikim includes Beinonim, anybody who's not a Rasha, but the great Rishayim of history and the great leaders of mankind through history will also get up so that they can see how wrong they were and they can see the light. Okay? Because they would have existed for nothing.
The Rishayim of them get to get up.
Right. but not to live ever, not to live happily ever after. Tzaddikim and of the Jewish people, and my Rebbe defined tzaddik, that his understanding of the Barbanel, tzaddikim is defined broadly as anyone except the Rishayim who have no chelek in Tchias HaMesim. So they get up to live happily ever after. But the Rishayim of the great Rishayim and the great leaders of nations and religions, he uses the terms the Rishayim Melachim Kisarim Gdolei Olam. The Rishayim, the kings, the Caesars. So, taking the Barbanel's time, Ferdinand and Isabella. They will get up to see how wrong they were. Hashem's ultimate goal in creating the world is to be revealed in the world. And if billions of people have lived in darkness and not without awareness of Hashem, then they lived for nothing. And so it has. Barbanel says it has to be this way. And the dead who will get up, these evil kings and leaders, they will tell all of mankind what they've been going through since they died, which apparently is not very pleasant. Okay. So that will further reveal the reward. The ideas of reward and punishment.
If Torah is about growth, can we read into that a little bit that in them seeing where they've been wrong, that therefore they will see how Hashem ruled the world and how wrong they were, and therefore they will then bow down to Hashem, like the Pasuk says.
Yeah. Yes. He does. He says that all that explicitly, but that won't be enough to then get them the eternal reward. It's not that they're going to be. It's not that they're going to be Bali Tshuva. Not. Although he does say that all nations of the world will then be united in believing in Hashem, which is the ultimate purpose of Chiyas HaMeisim. But nevertheless, it does not seem that they will live happily ever after. That these wicked people will then live happily ever after. Because if they get to live happily ever after, if Ferdinand and Isabella, Yimach Shemam, get to live happily ever after, then why don't the Rishayim of the Jewish people get to live happily ever after? That doesn't seem, for lack of a better word, fair. So that doesn't seem to be what the Abarbanel is saying. This is one of the longest principles for discussion. He brings many kashas from various psukim in the Neviim and answers them to support his understanding. And he says, as part of this, that there will be bechira, there will be free choice after Tchias HaMeisim. However, like Adam HaRishon before the Chait, who had some kind of free choice, it will be a relatively weak free choice compared to our recognition of the truth. So it will exist, but it won't really tempt us. Okay. The 11th principle is, and this is where he mentions, as I said, that only Hashem can do Tchias HaMeisim. No human being can do Tchias HaMeisim. And as I mentioned, he says that when Elisha and Eliyahu did Tchias HaMeisim, Eliyahu and Elisha did Tchias HaMeisim, it was meant through their tefillah. They did Tchias HaMeisim, they brought Hashem to do Tchias HaMeisim, and he Abarbanel alludes to this. There are commentaries in the Siddur that explain explicitly the proper understanding of the in Shemoneh Esrei. We say Atagi Bor Lolam Hashem Mechiyem Itim Ata Rav Loshia. You alone, Hashem, and some of the commentaries on the Siddur. I'm sorry, I don't remember exactly which commentary I saw this in, say that what a person should think when he says those words is, even though there are human beings like Eliyahu and Elisha that seem to have done Tchias HaMeisim, you alone, Ata Gibor Olam Hashem, you are the powerful one, Hashem, Mechayim Etim Ata Rav Loshia, you alone are the one who can do Tchias HaMeisim and bring salvation. And so the Barbanel alludes to that understanding of those words as well. The 13th principle, or that he, the 12th rather, that he talks about has to do with judgment, Hashem's judgment, and he brings Ramban that there are three different stages of judgment. There's judgment every Rosh Hashanah, okay, that takes place every Rosh Hashanah, which according to the Ramban is judgment whether a person will live or die that year, okay, and presumably that includes how the person will live and die that year. There is a judgment when a person dies, and he's judged whether he will go into Gan Eden or Gehenna at that stage when he dies. And then there's a third judgment, which is the Yom HaDin HaGadol, and that's at the time of Tchias HaMesim, the great day of judgment, and that will take place after Tchias HaMesim, and it's about that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that there are three books that tzaddikim are written immediately for life, meaning for Olam Haba, which is after Tchias HaMesim, the Rishayim, according to the Ramban and the Abarbanel, the Rishayim are written immediately for death, meaning back to Gehenna for forever. And the Beinonim will go back to Gehenna for a time, and then will come out. Okay. And so those three books that the Gemara refers to there, because commentaries ask, well, what do you mean tzaddikim are written for life, right, and Rishayim written for death? We see that's not true. Right? Many Rishayim lived, many tzaddikim died. Right. So one of the understandings of the Gemara is, now that's talking about the ultimate, that Gemara is talking about the ultimate judgment. There are other Rishonim who interpret the Gemara who answer that question in different ways, but that's how the Ramban and the Abarbanel answer that. Okay. The 13th principle goes back to who will Tchias HaMesim be for. And he says that some of our Chachamim said it's only for the Tzaddikim of Bnei Yisrael, and therefore the Pasuk says, V'rabim mishinei afar yakitsu, many of those who are sleeping in the earth will get up, not all of them. He says that's the opinion of the Rambam, and Rav Sadia Gaon, and the Ramban, and Rav Chisdai. So the Barbanel says that all of these early Gedolim said that Tchias HaMesim is only for the tzaddikim of the Jewish people. My opinion is very far from that, says the Abarbanel. Abarbanel was not shy about having different opinions. And he says that in the future, Tchias HaMesim will, so our people of our nation will get up to be judged and to participate in the days of Mashiach, and to be judged, and for other purposes I mentioned. And as well, Goyim from every part of the world will get up, not only the tzaddikim, but, so maybe this does address your question, he doesn't use the words Hasidim Masolam, but that's not only the tzaddikim of the Goyim, but also the exceptional Rishayim of the Goyim will get up. But don't think that they're all getting up for a reward, but rather they're each getting up for his own purpose, and the reward itself will only be for the tzaddikim. And he discusses this at length, again asks kashas from psukim and answers them. And lastly, the 14th principle is that those who get up in Tchias HaMesim will eat and drink and die like any other people. And he brings, acknowledges there are different opinions about this. The Ramban does not accept this, but the Rambam does, and he says my opinion leans towards the Rambam's opinion, and I have a number of arguments to support the Rambam's opinion that if you would say that people won't use their bodies, then why have bodies? And don't say, like the Ramban says, well, and why, you know, why will God, so to speak, go to the trouble of giving people bodies to not use them? And when we know God doesn't do anything for nothing. So the Ramban answers, it's not something for nothing. We already had bodies once. So, like, it's, so to speak, no trouble. I mean, obviously nothing's trouble for God, but in our speaking in our terms, it's no trouble for God because we already had bodies once. Rabbi Ben-El says, wait a second, those bodies are gone. Okay. Even if God is going to give us, even after Tchias Maaseh, we're going to have bodies exactly like the ones we have now, we're going to look the same, we're going to get up with the same blemishes and illnesses that we had and then be healed. And I skipped the answer to your question before. He says explicitly that people will get up looking the way they looked when they died. You asked 20, 40, however they looked when they died. That's how they'll look when they get up. Barbanel says, these are new bodies. They may look exactly like the old ones, but they're new ones because the old ones are gone. So it would be doing something for nothing. If Hashem would give us bodies that we're going to have no use for, it would be doing something for nothing. And therefore, I believe the bodies will be used. And furthermore, if the body will not derive pleasure from being there, why should the body be there? And don't tell me the body is going to derive spiritual pleasure from being there. Bodies are physical. Bodies are not spiritual. The neshama will derive physical pleasure from being there, but the body... The neshama will derive spiritual pleasure from being there, but the body, the only pleasure a body can have is physical. So if it's not going to have physical pleasures, why is it going to be there? So therefore, the Barbanel says, I lean towards the Rambam's view that the body will be the body.
Okay. And how does that fit in if they're coming back?
A long time. But no, because the Gemara says that they'll come back with all their blemishes and illnesses and be healed.
Right. So when and then be and they healed, will. Does that mean that they're going to go back to 20?
Mm-hmm. Are they going? Is their appearance going to change? I don't know. But they'll live a long time because the stresses on our body that exists now won't exist in the same way because it will be a different kind of life. The days of Mashiach, Rambam says, will be stress-free. There'll be physical lives. People will eat and drink and have children and work, but they'll be relatively stress-free, and so people will live long lives. Okay.
He probably didn't know about telomeres and all that, but I mean, part of the aging process is, so typically the telomere shrinks.
He doesn't use that word, but he does discuss the concept. But he does discuss the concept of the body deteriorating through aging, and that won't.
That's why I was asking about going back to part of the physical blemishes going away.
So as we've said many times, Chazal are not concerned with exactly what the scientific formula is. God will know how to make it happen. He's just describing what it will look like in a general sense. He mentions as well in passing that Eliyahu HaNavi, if the body is physical, then what did Eliyahu HaNavi go up to heaven with his body for? He says he didn't. Eliyahu HaNavi came, the chariot of fire came, and took Eliyahu HaNavi up to Shemayim. On the way up to Shemayim, he had to pass through the atmosphere, and his body burnt up in the atmosphere, and his clothing burnt up in the atmosphere, and his neshama went up. Okay? Remember that Eliyahu, he didn't die in the way that, so he left this world alive, but he died, according to Barbanel. Which would answer the famous question, what's the status of Eliyahu Navi's wife? Can Eliyahu Navi's wife remarry? According to Barbanel, Eliyahu Navi died. He just didn't die the way the rest of us die. Okay. he died on his way up to Shamayim. His body was burnt up in the atmosphere, and he died. That's the Barbanel understands.
So Barbanel says she can get
married. So according to Barbanel, it wouldn't be Akasha at all. Right. Okay. So that is a very quick overview of many, many, many pages in covers 30 pages in Barbanel's commentary on Tchias Mesim. So Hashem, we should be zochen in the near future. Have a good day.